And you and your specialty is applied nutrition. So you kind of know what food is all about, as well as knowing what dangers there are in food potentially, and then now really working in terms of food safety in transportation. So that covers a lot of bases, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And it really offers a wide range of knowledge and experience, like you mentioned. So I've seen a lot, and now I'm seeing even more in the trucking industry, even though everything I did in the past sort of transfers over. But the transportation industry just opens up a whole new area of food safety and you know, anything that you can see that could potentially harm food.
Understood. And there is and it seems as if the bad stuff is maybe even getting worse, and then there's new bad stuff out there too to look at. Bridget, I think, is with us on the line now. Bridget, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Fantastic. I kind of did your job for you, but I want you to maybe continue with Lindsay's introduction before we get into today's topic.
Oh, well, thank you, Dave and Lindsay. Great to have you. I had the pleasure of speaking with Lindsay earlier this year at the Food Shippers of America conference in Arizona. And we had an opportunity to showcase her knowledge in the transportation of food and safety issues that go along with handling food in this industry. And so I want to take the opportunity to share her knowledge with your awesome audience here and just have her kind of explain the practical concerns of what she's seen in the industry in terms of what are the scares that our shippers are concerned about when transporting food, when receiving food, when loading food. And then what is the law that now governs these parties that are handling the food? And what are some practical solutions? So, Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us here today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So I thought maybe you could just kind of explain a little bit of your experience and what you did at the Canadian Food Inspection Agency to kind of set the background.
Yeah, so I, for several years, I worked with the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, also known as CFIA, and I worked in various inspection commodities. So I was in meat, I was in fish, I was also in fresh fruit and veg. So I saw a lot of different food safety plans laid out, and I saw a lot of those food safety plans kind of go awry. And, you know, I saw a lot of issues that can happen when food is not, you know, being looked after in a safe way. So do you want me to go into a little bit about like some food safety instances that we can see in transportation?
Yeah, definitely. Expand upon that and share that with the audience.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, 48 million Americans can become sick by food infection or food illness, or just also known as food poisoning. And it's probably one of the most underrated reportable diseases or illness that we have, because oftentimes people don't remember what they eat, and they just don't even think that I could possibly get food poisoning. And, you know, this isn't always a problem for, you know, the general healthy people, but if you look at our children, the elderly population, anyone that is immune compromised, these type of infections or food poisoning can really be serious and often deadly. So, and it's also a really preventable public health problem. So we can, you know, there's lots of ways we can get in and prevent some of these illnesses.
So one of the concerns that we talked about when we were at the Food Shippers of America conference was that now we've got this law that's in place, Food Safety Modernization Act. And Dave, we've talked about that in the past, and that was relevant this year because the compliance deadline was April 6th of this year for a large pool of these shippers, motor carriers, receivers, and loaders now all coming into this regulation. And so, Lindsay, maybe can you explain the parties that are now subject to the Safety Modernization Act and how that kind of plays in with your experience and what the concerns were for the transportation providers now in handling food?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, food spends a lot of time in transit. So, you know, you would see regulation when food was being produced. You'd see it on the retail side. But the most part, you know, food spends is in transportation, and there was no regulations for that. So, and they really wanted to be, you know, in government ways. I guess they wanted to see a complete gate-to-plate regulation so food would be safe the entire time. So they introduced the Sanitary Transportation Act, which was part of the new FSMA, and it encompasses shippers. So that would be anyone that owned the food. So it could be a producer or a broker. It also covers carriers. So that would be someone moving the food from A to B, loaders, and receivers.
And why is this important, this new aspect of encompassing these parties that are handling food?
Why?
In terms of the time temperature, maybe you can explain the time temperature control aspect.
Yeah, so, I mean, food, the microorganisms can grow best when food is not held at a temperature that is necessary. So when food is moved in and out of sort of a temperate danger zone, the chances of introducing bacteria just goes up. So that's really important. That's one of the new laws, that all food has to be temperature controlled and then put in a refrigerated reefer at all times.
I just want to remind two folks, Lindsay and Bridget, that our phones are open, 615-292-6366, 615-292-6366. And ladies, we had a call earlier from Tom in anticipation of your appearance here on the program this morning. He hauls dog food from one of the big suppliers. And wondered if I know that there are regulations for human and animal food. I mean, animal food does play into this, but does it play into it, Lindsay, in terms of the transportation of animal food, or is it simply in the processing and the storage, or all three areas?
No, dog food. Well, this rule does affect animal food as well. And anything that covers with human food would be for dog food as well. So you would have shipper requirements, and food would have to be, or animal food would have to be carried according to those shipper requirements. So it would have to be temperature controlled. You would need a proper washout. So it's the same. It follows the same requirements as human food.
Got it. So a can of Cozy Kitten and a can of pork and beans pretty much get the same treatment.
Well, if it's refrigerated, yes.
Yeah, I got that.
Control, yeah.
Well, let me, I do have a quick question, and then I know, Bridget, you want to get into the legal side of this because this is protecting your livelihood. Lindsay, we know that a refrigeration unit on a trailer needs to be operating properly. It needs to have proper airflow through the trailer so that all of the food is kept at the same temperature at the same time. We know that those units can break down or run out of fuel. You know, all kinds of stuff can happen. But now in this world of connectivity in trucking, where we have telematics that are basically broadcasting information and data back and forth from the tractor and trailer to the home office, back and forth, is there any regulation either in this regulation here, the Food Safety Modernization Act, and I'm going to start calling it FSMA too because it's too hard to say. I don't know why modernization is such a hard word to say. And I'm a professional, so what do you think? But it's our telematics and data collection going to become part and parcel of the rule, or is it already part and parcel of the rule?
Well, when they first released the first draft, it did say that telematics were going to be necessary. But when they released the final draft, they took that away. So basically, they just said that temperature needed to be monitored throughout the trip. So as long as you could show through records, so like manually taking temperature, so you have a start temperature, you're pre-cool, and then you could show temperature tracking throughout the trip and then your end trip, that would be sufficient. And I think the first draft also mentioned that you would have to show the receiver the temperature monitoring, and now I believe it just says if the shipper wants to see the final temperature tracking, they could ask for it, but it's not going to be mandatory as it normally was. But I mean, if I was a shipper and, you know, hiring a carrier to haul my food, I would want to make sure that it was under specific temperature control the entire trip. I'm sure the receiver at the final, you know, receiving the food at the end would like to know they were receiving food that remained within that temperature requirement. So I think, you know, if you want to stay competitive and actually, you know, show that you are being proactive and preventative, I think you would want to have some telematics or some type of real-time temperature intel.
Wow, that's a great point. And Lindsay and Bridget, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break right here. But Bridget, I think you kind of almost anticipate where I'm thinking of going next. That seems to be the perfect door to walk through to kind of get into the courtroom, because if anything's going to probably be a problem legally with food transportation, it's going to be temperature control and the verification of that temperature control. So we'll be right back. Protecting Your Livelihood continues with Bridget Blitch from Blitch Wesley Attorneys at Law. With offices in Florida and Wisconsin. And to get in touch with Blitch Wesley, the phone number is 407-574-2835. 407-574-2835. Lindsay Glass is with us, too, of course, from Iron Apple International. And we'll find out a little bit about what Iron Apple does after we come back as well. Yeah, they've been around for 48 years, and they're the only two-time winner of the NASDAQ Broker of the Year Award, but that's not what keeps carriers coming back to Des Moines Truck Brokers. They come back because they know that DMTB will make their experience better on the road. DMTB, they offer an easy-to-use app, and they pay faster than anyone in the industry, free. Enjoy great communication with a dedicated point of contact that always has your back. Visit DMTB.com to learn more. DMTB. Somewhere inside me there's a new direction. Somewhere before me there's an open road. Can't go to sleep without that diesel singing. And somebody telling me it's time to go. Let's ride. Let's get right back to Protecting Your Livelihood. Bridget Blitch from Blitch Wesley is with us, Lindsay Glass from Iron Apple, and you as a listener right now, of course, but if you'd like to be a conversationalist, give us a call. If you haul food or are interested in hauling food, maybe you've had a problem, 615-292-6366. Bridget, Lindsay offered some pretty good advice, you know. Yeah, you know, the idea of telematic record keeping of the reefer data is not in the final rule, but it ain't a bad idea to make sure you have those bases covered. And I would imagine that that's something that you wind up telling some clients pretty often if they have a problem with food transport.
Yeah, it, great segue. The concern that I see is that there are contracts that shippers have that require certain temperature controls. So even though the Food Safety Modernization Act, or FSMA, gives the shippers an opportunity to be flexible with their carriers as to their how they report temperature, their contracts often require carriers to take certain steps. So we have to be careful in those contracts and understand what those requirements are that are being imposed on by our customers.
Got it. There are some other aspects of the FSMA, the Food Safety Modernization Act, Lindsay. And now I'm skimming the surface here, and I think even folks in trucking who don't deal with food transport kind of skim the surface in terms of this federal Drug Administration, Food and Drug Administration rule. But there's one exemption. And, you know, Lindsay, in the wider world of trucking, and I'm sure you're well familiar with this too, we have the ELD rules and everything.
Right.
And we have exemptions for those ELD rules. We have a lot of bills in Congress that are aiming at exempting people. But there's one exemption from the rule, the FSMA rule, if I'm understanding it correctly. Shippers, receivers, or carriers engaged in food transportation operations that have less than $500,000 in average annual revenue are exempt from the rule. And just as an outsider looking in at that, that sounds kind of strange to me. I mean, I can understand the economics of that, but I don't understand the food safety component in that exemption.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I guess no one really understands why they make some of those exemptions. And I guess it was probably to help ease in maybe the financial burden that some of these smaller companies may have to, because let's face it, when you have to put in a food safety program, it does sometimes affect the bottom line, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. So I think that might have been, you know, sort of their way of easing all these new regulations. But really, I don't really see that many people exempt, because if you are hauling for a shipper that is not exempt, all of those regulations filter down. So the shipper is going to have to prove that that food was transported safely, right? So if they are hiring or contracting out a carrier to haul that food, then they're no longer exempt. So they have to make sure that they are following those shipper requirements and, you know, basically being compliant to the shipper at that point, right? So you may not be, you don't need to be compliant with regulations, but if you want to keep the business with your shipper, then you have to be compliant.
Got it. There, and if you don't mind, Lindsay, I'd like to maybe just kind of stay in the exempt bubble here, exemption bubble, because
sure.
Again, as soon as a rule comes out, especially with FMCSA, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, we always get these exemptions, and they're controversial. For a number of reasons at different levels. So another exemption is the transportation activities performed by a farm. Now, does that mean from farm to terminal? In other words, from the field to the truck sort of thing? Or are there some parameters that you can maybe kind of fence out for us on that?
Well, I'm not that well versed on some of the firm regulations, but I do believe that if the food goes from farm to retail, then it does not follow under those exemptions. But if it goes farm to somewhere to be processed, and process could simply be cleaning or packaging, then it needs to fall under those regulations.
Got it. And that's understandable because the cleaning process and the prep process has to start someplace, and it's not
exactly.
So when you get it to there, that's when the clock starts ticking, I guess, in a sense. Yeah. Well, our clock is ticking and it never stops ticking. So we're going to take a break here for news and weather here at the bottom of the hour. It's a real pleasure to have Lindsay Glass with us on the program. She is with Iron Apple, of course. And we'll talk a little bit about what Iron Apple International does. And we'll talk a little bit more about Lindsay's world. And if it's your world, by all means, give us a call. We've had some problems with the phones. We've had a lot of calls coming in, and we've lost them all. But please try again. I think we have that squared away, 615-292-6366.
Now, back to the Dave Nemo Show on SiriusXM's Road Dog Trucking Radio.
And right back to protecting your livelihood with Bridget Blitch from Blitch Wesley Attorneys at Law, with offices in Florida and Wisconsin. To get in touch, if you got some problems out there, 407-574-2835. And, of course, Lindsay Glass is with us from Iron Apple. We're talking through food transportation and food safety in transportation. And we've got a call coming in here from Crazy Capers. So why don't we take Crazy Capers' call? He's up in New York. He's got a question about the new rule. And Crazy Caper, thanks for being with us. You're on with Bridget and Lindsay now.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Question is, how does the that rule relate to items coming to and going from Canada?
Great question. Lindsay, do you want to take a pass at that one?
Sure. So any food that is entering the U.S. interstate commerce is under the rule. So that is food going from Canada into the United States, and if it stops in the United States, then it is under the rule. But if it's just in transit, so it's going from Canada, just driving through the States and going into Mexico, it would not be under the rule.
Okay. What about items from the U.S. back to Canada?
Well, if it is there any, if it doesn't enter the U.S. interstate commerce, then it would not be under the rule. So if it's made in the U.S. and then dropped off in Canada, then the final destination being Canada, it would not be under the rule. Am I correct with that, Bridget?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So the Food Safety Modernization Act, it applies stateside. So it's exactly as you stated. So where food is transshipped through the United States to another country, that it doesn't apply in that instance. Or if it's food imported for future export, that's another exception under FSBA. Great questions, Crazy Caper.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for the call.
And maybe that requires a touch of clarification. I'm going to read right from the page here, if you don't mind. And this is from the executive summary, so this isn't getting down into the weeds. But companies involved in the transportation of food intended for export are covered by the rule until the shipment reaches a port or a U.S. border. Can you maybe just even dive into that just a touch more, Bridget?
Sure. So the particular regulation is in 21 CFR 1.900, and it talks about what the requirements do not apply to for certain parties that we've talked about. These are the shippers, the receivers, the loaders, and the carriers. And that is of food that is imported for future export. So they're looking at that is neither consumed nor distributed in the United States.
So if it is,
if it's intended to be consumed or distributed in the United States, like it's at a port and it's going to be distributed from the port to consumers in the United States, then FSMA applies. Then these regulations apply.
We're going to head back to New York for another call from the Empire State. Santa is with us with some questions. Santa, top of the morning, and you're on with Lindsay Glass, Bridget Blitch now.
Hey, how are you two today? I need to ask the question. I do dog food, and then not dog food, but I do a product for non-human consumption, and then I pick up other product for human consumption on my way out. I wash out every time. Now, do I have to write down what I had in the trailer prior?
Santa, that's a great question, and a couple issues there is, are you transporting these either these raw products or these food products in a bulk container?
No.
Okay. So the reason why I ask is because in the regulations there's a specific requirement if you're transporting items in a bulk container, and a bulk vehicle means like a tank, a hopper truck, a rail tank, a cargo tank, basically any vehicle in which the food that is shipped is actually directly coming into contact with the vehicle. And then in those instances where you have the food coming directly into contact, there's a specific requirement that you keep records of the previous cleanings and the previous shipments that were transported. So that's in 21 CFR 1.908, where it talks about specifically, if requested by a shipper, a carrier that offers a bulk vehicle, they can ask this specific information from them. So if you're transporting products that are already contained and not coming into direct contact, the regulations do not require it. But that doesn't mean that the shipper could still require it. It is actually quite often that I see in contracts with customers that they do ask that you keep those records as part of their making sure that food is transported under sanitary conditions. So even though regulatory-wise it's not a requirement, customers are often wanting to know, what did you previously ship in that container? When did you last clean it?
Okay. That's what I wanted to find out, because I only haul two products, and I just didn't know if I had to write it down every time because I only haul the two products. But I bleach the inside of the trailer before I haul the second product every time, so it's like sterilized.
Yeah, Lindsay, maybe you can offer a suggestion about how to make record keeping a little bit easier for Santa in this situation.
So do you have, if you had to write some of the, your washout down or keep a washout ticket, where would you keep all that?
I put it on right on with my ELD every day because I have a tablet. I can put it on there every day. It's not a big issue.
So I would have that product.
Because
some of the record keeping requirements that you have to keep the records for up to 12 months. So the last time you would have done a washout for that load, you would have to keep for 1 year. And then if the FDA required those documents, you would have 24 hours to come up with that document. So you really need to, be organized and have some type of document management system to help keep those documents in order and then be able to give them to the FDA or your shipper when asked.
Okay.
Yeah, Santa, so if your customer says, even though the regulations don't require it, if you're not transporting in bulk, if your customer still says, we want these records, then that triggers what Lindsay is referring to as another section under the FSMA where it says, okay, if you're required to keep these records pursuant to an agreement, then you have that 12-month record retention trigger. So in that case, it's always important to know what your customers are requiring of you so you can be in compliance and then follow your process that you're retaining those records through your ELD or through your tablet.
Okay. Thank you very much. And there's one more question I want to ask you. Do you just do trucks or do you do real estate too for transactions?
That depends on where the transaction takes place. We are licensed in Colorado, Florida, and Wisconsin. But we have a lot of colleagues that work across the country, so we're always happy to put you in the right hands if it's not in one of those states.
Okay. Well, that's all I wanted to know, is that because I'm going to make a transaction for another piece of property, and I wondered if you guys were interested in doing that stuff. So.
Well, feel free to give us a call after the show. We will be glad to make sure you're in the right hands.
Okay. Thank you very much. You all have a nice
Thanks,
day.
Thanks, Santa.
Thank you, Santa.
Bye.
And I'll repeat the contact number again here before the top of the hour. Lindsay, Bridget just said something in the conversation with Santa about you know, the wash tickets and things like that. You said something a little bit earlier too that makes about temperature control and data recovery of the you know, the records of what the temperatures are with a reefer unit. So I'm going to kind of ask you one of these leading type questions, if you don't mind. Okay, we have the regulation, and a regulation is not going to nail down every nail. There will be some things left a little gray, but it seems, just from the little bit of conversation we've had here this morning, Lindsay, it seems as if the regulation doesn't cover it, the supply chain, the processors, the shippers, the carriers, everybody is going to pretty much take care of the rest of it, so that when you take the whole picture, we have a pretty good nailed down safety plan here for food.
Mm-hmm.
And you would say that that was pretty accurate then?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it is. I mean, because a lot of FSMA requires processors now to have preventative control plans. And part of their preventative control plans is going to encompass the storage and transportation of their product, right? So it's going to cover all those gray areas. So basically, even like I said back earlier, if you are a smaller carrier and you're sort of falling to those exemptions, you may be in that circle with your shipper. You're going to be covered because they're going to require that their food is then carried in compliance, right? Then they may have to prove to their FDA inspector, when our food leaves our facility, it is put in this type of trailer. We make sure that they have wash tickets. We make sure that they are pre-cooling. We make sure that they are monitoring the temperature throughout the entire trip until that final destination. So, yeah, it's all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to build on that, you know, the reason why this is so important is because, like Lindsay is saying, the shippers are anticipating, if not already experiencing, audits from the FDA to ensure compliance. And so they know that once they lose the control and custody of that food shipment, they want to be able to ensure that the food is still being transported safely, and they're requiring in their contracts with carriers, motor carriers, rail carriers, even brokers who are shippers by definition under the regulation, for defense and indemnification back against the shipper in the event that there's a violation. And so while FSMA doesn't create a private cause of action for a food safety violation, it does impose or have the possibility to impose civil penalties for each instance in which there is found to be a FSMA violation. So you can look at anywhere from $50,000 to $500,000 in violations depending upon the severity. And obviously it's going to be within the discretion of the Department of Justice that is now partnering with the FDA as to which cases they're going to be pursuing and what the penalties are that they're going to be seeking for instances of food violation. But with those penalties, monetary penalties at play, as well as criminal penalties, meaning that there's also the opportunity to be faced with misdemeanor charge if there's a violation, which carries up to a year imprisonment. So this is a very serious regulation that's now come into effect, where shippers are saying, we want defense indemnification back against our transportation partners if they don't comply. So, Dave, you were talking about, well, there's exemptions, like if you're a non-covered business. But as Lindsay mentioned earlier in the show, that may be true, but contractually those non-covered businesses or otherwise exempt businesses, meaning even owner-operators, are getting pulled into this regulation pursuant to contract. and now have the possibility that they'd be having to defend and indemnify their shipper customers if a violation is found. So, again, all the more reason to understand this regulation, know what you're signing with your customers, you know, have the right insurance in place so that you can meet your contractual indemnification obligations if you have to. And then what we can lead into is Lindsay's solutions of what she can offer to the industry as a compliance and record-keeping solutions as well.
Recently, last month, and I know both of you are probably well up on this one, we had the romaine lettuce problem. About 200 people got sick with E. coli. 5 people actually died. People were sick in 36 states. And obviously, this lettuce has been transported by truck all over the place. And of course, CDC put out the warning, news programs all over. We talked about it here on this program. And then they basically found the problem, and it turned out to be an irrigation canal where the lettuce is grown. Most of the lettuce comes from the same place out in the Yuma, Arizona area. My question here, though, is until the source problem was found, was everybody along the supply chain really holding their breath on something like this?
Well, I mean, yeah, I would think absolutely because of the Food Safety Modernization Act and that now there's the, you know, I will say a lot of the industry already had safe food handling practices, but now this has been codified. And so with the prospect of regulatory enforcement and then certainly civil claims from, you know, common law causes of action from people that are getting sick and unfortunately, you know, worse from this illness, that absolutely there's concerns all across the supply chain for, you know, where did this illness, where did it originate?
And I would imagine that everybody along the chain, regardless of whether they are growers, processors, shippers, carriers, receivers, even the retailers, they're all being pretty much examined under a microscope until they find out what's going on. So when this stuff happens, it really kind of sends a chill, I guess, through that section of the food economy, so to speak.
Well, it does. And I think that and what Lindsay can expand upon is what's the first thing that people are going to ask for is documentation, proof. What can you show to us that your vehicle was clean or your trailer was clean, your reefer was running? So now, all of a sudden, you know, those, like Santa was saying, those records that that he's keeping become critical in that scenario.
Yeah, wow, indeed. We're going to, you know what, this is unbelievable. We're going to take another call from New York again. I wonder if these guys are all in the same truck stop together here, passing the phone around. Duke is with us up in New York with a very interesting question. Hey, Duke, good morning. Welcome. You're on with Lindsay Glass, Bridget Blitch. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Dave. Good morning. My question is about private carriers. We haul one product. It's our own product. It's eggs. And that's all we do. We do everything right from farm to market and processing and the whole nine yards. So is there any exemptions or maybe special rule for us?
Well, Duke, thank you so much for your call, and it's great to have you on this morning. I'll give my 2 cents worth and then have Lindsay chime in. Generally speaking, carriers are included in the regulation. So the only exception is that a carrier doesn't include any person who transports food while operating as a parcel delivery service. So if you're a private carrier, the only other potential exemption you could come under would be if you are a facility that is exclusively regulated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and there's under a couple different federal regulations that could apply. One is the Egg Products Inspection Act. So I'd have to know a little bit more about your company and the private fleet as to whether it would come under that exemption or not. Lindsay, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you'd be covered under the USDA. They have a very strict prevention of control program that you would need to be following. But, I mean, you're also carrying foods that are probably the highest risk for foodborne illness and growing undesirable microorganisms, because eggs are, you know, are very high in protein and are moist. So they, you know, if they're not temperature controlled properly, they can, the bacteria can grow very quickly. So you want to really make sure that the product that you're carrying, the eggs, whether you're going from farm to processing and processing to retail, that you have strict temperature control the entire time.
Okay, thank you. That pretty much answers my question. And sorry if I give a shout out, Dave.
Absolutely.
I'd just like to say hi to Scott at Rooster Cruiser.
And all right.
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thanks for making the call. Really appreciate
thank you
being you. With us. All right. Lindsay, before we run out of time, I'd love for you to maybe give us a quick run through of what you guys do at Iron Apple.
Yeah, sure. So we are a compliance solution, and we're kind of a modern food industry-specific management solution that has coupled with automatic electronic data capture technology. So basically, that's sort of the technical version, but we are a compliance solution. So we offer all of the written procedures that you require for the FDA and all the checklists that you need. So your pre-cool, your pre-trip inspection, a place to store all your washout tickets. And then we've partnered with data technology companies that can actually take your real-time temperatures and put it into our system. So not only are you now tracking temperature, you can show your start temperature, your end temperature, what your pre-cool was, and all of your checklists, and then basically give it to your shipper in a very simple load summary. And so we offer that for our owner-operators and our small carriers, and then we go a step and above, and we offer a compliance audit. So basically you become certified. You can get an accredited audit to make sure that all your systems are in place and that your processes are correct before you have to, you know, prove to the shipper or the FDA we have a third-party audit.
Wow. Okay. So you basically cover all the bases. So let's say I'm hauling romaine lettuce. The thing comes out, the problem comes out, and I'm saying, oh, well, if they call me, when they will, I'll just hand over my paperwork from Iron Apple and everything's squared away.
Exactly. So we've basically taken the FSMA requirements and sort of automated them and optimized mm-hmm. those processes.
Oh, man,
so,
that's awesome.
You know, gone are the days of scrambling to try to find records and, you know, your washout and your temperature and requirements.
Yeah.
It's all in one system.
Got it. Bridget, we have just a couple of minutes, but I thought maybe there might be maybe a summation and maybe a takeaway from today's discussion.
Yeah, definitely. So the key here is, number one, know what your requirements are, both under the regulation and under your customer requirements. And so communication is key, and that then lends itself to working with your compliance provider, working with your qualified counsel to ensure that you're identifying what those risk exposures are and that you're not taking on liability that you shouldn't otherwise be responsible for. So what we've talked about in the past is understanding what's in your contracts, understanding also what's in your insurance, and do you have insurance to cover you for potential FSMA claims as well as cargo claims. Remember, FSMA is not a claims handling statute. It's a regulatory compliance, meaning that we want to protect, as Lindsay said, the food from gate to plate. So communicate with your customers. Understand what they're asking. Oftentimes there's going to be a contract or they'll have regulatory guidelines. Also keep in mind that email communications with your customers could be construed as contracts. So if a customer sends you a letter or they send you an email and they say, we expect you to do the following with respect to food safety, that in the event that you fail to do so could lead you to liability for a breach of contract. So it's I know there's a lot to always understand as part of the industry, but it's important to be competitive, as Lindsay says, and being able to meet your customers' expectations while at the same time making sure that you're protecting your livelihood.
And that is exactly where we need to stop, protecting your livelihood. Bridget will be with us next month. Want to thank Lindsay Glass again from Iron Apple on our discussion on the Food Safety Modernization Act. Bridget Blitch with Blitch Wesley Attorneys at Law, with offices in Florida, Wisconsin, but also licensed in Colorado, 407-574-2835.